Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Houston, standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Tipping your cap to this weekend in sports, 713-780-3776. Your prerogative if you want to zoom one time. Joe, who are you tipping your cap to?
Yeah, I'd like to tip my cap to Team USA Men's Hockey. 3-0, getting ready for the quarterfinals coming up next. They played really good hockey so far, Jeremy.
All right, I want to throw the sexist flag.
Well, I didn't want to steal yours, so I went with the men. Sex. I can read the rundown.
Oh, I forgot that I had it in there.
So,
rejected. I recant my sexist flag. Yeah, that's just being a good teammate. Thank you.
Yep,
all right, what's your, you got another?
Yeah, what's the Astros slogan again this year? I keep forgetting.
Fight the fight.
We chase the fight.
Chase the fight. I'd like to tip my cap.
Who's ready for that?
To the Chicago Cubs for the worst season slogan I've ever heard.
Completely useless by September?
This. That's it.
That's it?
This.
Just the word this?
Hashtag this?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Is it supposed to be an acronym? Like,
I don't know.
Does this like is it stand for something?
I haven't watched the video like with the sound on yet. It's just a bunch of highlights, and at the end it just says this. And that's
I'll see the TV voice of the Chicago Cubs here in a little bit.
Brag.
Is it a brag though?
I don't know.
It depends on what you think of Book.
I like
it. It may be a brag. It might not be a brag. Maybe it's a terrible time.
I like him when he's doing not Cubs games.
So I just put up their Twitter. There's a video for this. I already hate this. I hate everything about this, actually. This can be their slogan.
Yeah, it is. It seems like.
I just realize how often I say this. I'm never going to get over this. I don't know how I feel about...
I do. It's terrible.
This.
It's awful.
I haven't seen them use the hashtag, though. It's just like they tweeted out this. There's a video, and then it's like it has the word this a lot in the video.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't use it as a hashtag. If they don't use it as a hashtag and they don't overdo it, it won't be as bad. But obviously it's not good. This is so bad.
But why would you come up with it if you weren't going to use it as the hashtag, exactly. Right? And create a video for it if you're not going to use it as a hashtag.
Well, I haven't seen them use it as a hashtag yet, to be fair. So, I don't know, man. This is not great.
it's
not wonderful.
May be the jumping the shark moment for all the team slogans.
I think so. Just one word and you choose this.
Let us know how often they use it.
I will. Okay.
Because maybe it's just, they did pin it though.
Maybe this is like a multi-year thing and it's over the years it's going to spell out a whole phrase for them.
This.
Like this just means more. Like next year is just... 2 years from now, it's means. 4 years from now, it's more.
Yeah, we got what you meant, Brian. Thank you.
Thank you. I just speak slowly for the Twitchers.
Who are you tipping your cap to, Brian?
I got a couple, both Olympic related. Just a tip of the cap in general to the entire short track speed skating. That is just so much fun to watch. It's NASCAR and ice. Literal, like actual crash outs, like every other race when I was watching the men's the 500 meter finals that happened early this morning in the women's 1,000 meter. Crash outs nearly every single time. It looks like they're going to cut their fingers off on every pass just because they're constantly putting their hand down while blades are going by. It's so much fun to watch. And the other tip of the cap, also Olympics, I think a new favorite sport at the Olympics. It wasn't the first year, but the combined men's and women's snowboard cross. I know Jeremy hasn't watched it, but have you watched that, Joe?
No, I haven't watched this yet.
I think it's been in the X Games for a while, but it's snowboard cross, and there's a men and women's combined time. But the British team, the tip of the cap is to the British riders who won gold medal, having the most British names possible. The male is Hugh, H-U-W, Nightingale, and the woman's competitor was Charlotte Banks with an E. Just like the most British-sounding names possible.
That's how you spell Hugh?
This guy did. I don't think you're... I think Hugh Grant is H-U-G-H, but this guy spelled it H-U-W.
I thought that was a typo when I saw that.
No. It's not. Like, it's just the most British-sounding name possible, and they won gold, so tip of the cap to them.
I wouldn't think that they would be good in that sport.
That was the other part of it. Like, I was really... You expect, like, you know, teams from Finland and Austria to do well and that sort of thing, but no, the Brits brought it home.
Are y'all over the Olympics?
Yep. No. I'm not. I'm still having fun watching it.
I'm getting closer. Once the men's hockey's done, I think that and the curling is done, I think I'm Olympic'd out.
I think I'm out on curling.
I mean, men's hockey's going to go to the final day, though.
I know. But all the other sports is kind of what I'm saying. Like, I've seen enough bobsled for 4 years. I've seen enough luge for 4 years. I've seen enough skiing for 4 years. I can never get enough curling once every 4 years. And, you know, the hockey's always fun. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. Tip of my cap to CP3. Outstanding career. One of the best point guards that has ever done it. Tip my cap to him. The Jags. I tip my cap to the Jags making the decision that Travis Hunter is going to be a most of the time cornerback. They say he still might play a little bit wide receiver, but he's going to be mostly a cornerback. So that's good. That was the decision to make. Now, you can certainly talk about the trade-up for a corner.
Mm-hmm.
That's debatable. But they're making the right decision now. U.S. hockey, rolling Sweden, gold medal game coming up. Tip my cap to them. And then a couple of golf ones I have. The weekend of droughts ending. Colin Morikawa winning at Pebble Beach. First tournament that he's won in 28 months, guys. Wow. I don't know if y'all guys can do math. That's over 2 years. So impressive there for Morikawa. And then Anthony Kim on LIV. We know the Anthony Kim story.
I do not know this man.
Hurt. I think he had a drug problem. I hope he did, because if I just said that, that's not very nice of me. But pretty sure he did. His nose is messed up. But he won on LIV over the weekend. His first golf tournament win since 2010.
So because his nose is messed up, he has a drug problem?
Well, I mean, yeah. Your nose just doesn't mess up on
first
accident.
First off, I'd like to challenge that you would mind outing people, because you've talked about how drunk your high school baseball coach is many times.
That's not an out, though. You always bring that up as like me outing him. That's not an out.
Yeah, but the general audience didn't know what was going on at Humble High School 15 years ago.
Depends. Depends on if you keep up with the high school baseball circuit or not. Yeah, look at Anthony Kim before and after picture. Tell me he's not a recovering drug addict.
Yeah, the nose, he looks like he got punched in the face.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm like 90% sure he's a recovering drug addict. But he had a bunch of injuries, had to retire from golf. LIV gave him an opportunity to come out of retirement. He did, and he won. He won over the weekend against LIV competitors. So congratulations to Anthony Kim. I mean, that's a long time without a golf win. So I tip my cap to Anthony Kim. How could you not? Alex on the Twitch is saying that he is tipping his cap to his daughter's 12-under softball team for splitting their two games. He misspelled there, but we won't put him on blast. He's Mexican. Great. Game one was no bueno. They couldn't hit the at all. Alex, you gotta work on your typing.
Dude, it's tough, man.
I would have made them run laps later. Man, he's like Herb Brooks. Get on the line. Who do we play for? We play for the USA. 75 wants to tip his cap for Brian for reasons we will not say. Kugblay is tipping my cap to Mother Nature for ruining Valentine's Day. That was quite the storm. That was a bit gnarly.
It was.
That. Tip my cap to the 40-year-old woman who won gold in the mono bobsled race earlier. That's pretty cool.
You had a bunch of old people winning things in the Olympics this year. Wasn't there like a 50-year-old a men's competition?
There was a 40-year-old that talked about last week that won the parallel giant slalom skiing race.
That's right.
Ryan says, tip of the cap to the dude who almost completely crashed out on the giant mogul ski event and ended up winning the race while skiing backward. Oh, yeah, that's right. That was pretty cool. Did you see that one where he crossed the finish line rear first?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was pretty nice. 713-780-ESPN, who are you tipping your cap to? I tip my cap to Sacco, Khalifa Sacco, for a good game he played. There you go. Rocky says he's tipping his cap to all college men basketball players that had career games after I took the under on points scored. Of course they did, Rocky. You don't know ball, man. Maybe you can prove it, though, on Underdog. Promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B. Someone said tip the cap to the Dolphins for letting Tyreek go. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Tip of the cap to my wife for beating my friend's wife at Madden 2-0. A total combined minus 72 rushing yards and 12 interceptions thrown. They quit midway through the second quarter. That's a lot. I'm throwing the BS flag on this. I don't think that you can combine, well, maybe the 72 yards rushing. Maybe that's possible. But I'm BS flag here because I don't think that it's possible in a single game of Madden to throw 12 interceptions halfway through the second quarter.
They'd just have to be going like back and forth on essentially every play.
And then, but they also had minus 72 yards of rushing.
Yes, that's where I'm also skeptical.
Yeah, I'm throwing the BS flag there. I need to see box score, bro.
I could kind of see it, like, if they don't know the passing mechanics, if they don't know you have to bullet passes, and they're just lobbing everything up, that could turn into a bunch of picks.
They just got super technical.
Yeah, I know. I regretted that like halfway through.
Junkie, Astros slogan should be who's on first. Yeah, but then what's on second? Get a stinking clue.
Chase the fight.
Tipping my cap to Jake Paul's girlfriend. I think she won gold, didn't she, in the speed skating?
Yeah. Yeah, she did.
Yeah. Yeah. The golfer has a deviated system. No, he's had a drug problem, man.
Yeah. I looked at the before and after. It's pretty wild. And there was also a post for him admitting to having a problem.
Yeah, he's had a drug problem. I know his story somewhat well. Tip my cap to Branham for no the math on 2 years, over 2 years. That's funny there, 8170. Tip of my cap to Michael Jordan winning Daytona 500. Yeah, what's unfortunate about that, though,
is that
Jordan's going viral for all the reasons afterwards.
Yep.
That was interesting. Tip of the cap to Land McCullers for squeegeeing my windshield on the corner of Hillcroft and West Park today. He's in West Palm Beach, Florida. He was doing an interview today with the media. He almost cried. We'll get to that a little bit later. I feel bad for Lance. We'll talk about that later. All right, 713-780-3776. Joe, I'm toying with the idea. And we'll get to the Lance stuff next, too, actually. I am toying with the idea of breaking a Yordan rule. Yordan rules, much like the Jordan rules, I'm tempted with the idea of breaking one. I'll tell you which one next. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2. You looking to escape for a few days? Get out of the city. Get out of all the stress and anxiety. Work is just overwhelming you right now. Everything's overwhelming you right now. Get out there to Two Creeks Crossing Resort and leave your troubles behind. It's the best idea. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. You can escape the city, enjoy the relaxing great outdoors the way that it was intended to be enjoyed. Book your stay, twocreekscrossingresort.com. They got it all out there, too. They got the open spaces for you to explore. In fact, 92 acres of property for you to get out there and explore. Doesn't get any better than that. Wildlife you don't see in the city, which is always cool to do. Beautiful, majestic trees as well. It's always nice to get out there and really enjoy that. And if you like to fish, Two Creeks Crossing Resort is for you. They got the two creeks there. It's in the name. They also have a big catch and release pond in the middle of the property, which is a great way to teach the kiddos how to fish. And also, it's only 90 minutes from Houston. Maybe my favorite part. You don't have to travel 7, 8, 9, 10 hours to get to some paradise. You don't have to jump on a plane and go through TSA and they're losing your bags and you're waiting at your gate and flights are getting delayed. No, you're there in an hour and a half. A paradise is 90 minutes away. You're going to be hiking on their property in no time. They got kayaking for you, pickleball courts. They have cold ones, swampers. That's never a problem. You're going to enjoy your time out there. And they have it all. They have glamping for you. They have the cabins. They have a tree house. You go up the stairs. You stay in a cabin that's in their tree. Or you can just pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. Still a few days to get in on the 40-20 discount. 40% off your stays, 20% off RV stays. And they're always taking care of you. They just had this Valentine's Day weekend, this past weekend. Coming up this weekend, the Mardi Gras and Gumbo Cook-Off. Oh, yeah. And then the final weekend of February, the Western Roundup weekend. You're going to love your time out there. They're always taking care of you. So book your stay now. TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
This is ESPN 97.5.
You're You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm the Huntington Bank bad boy.
Is that accurate?
You want to do... shut up, Nick. You want to do Lance or Yordan first?
Oh, let's do Lance first.
All right. Some Lance McCullers met with the media today. I listened to the full interview. He said he's been healthy this offseason and working on stuff better than, you know, recovering from injury, can actually try to target like how to get guys out and certain stuff like that. But this was the part that was kind of the lead story here, and the one that was going viral a bit, where Lance McCullers got pretty honest about where he's at as a pitcher in 2026.
I've always just been in this kind of this battle to just try to get out there, and then, you know, when I get out there, you know, try to compete and, you know, try to be the best version of whoever I was at the time. So, you know, I think that has dawned on me more. I think my wife's helped me with that a little bit too, you know, just like, you know, I'm going to be good either way. And I think I just need to kind of let go, you know, stop trying to control everything, stop trying to just micromanage everything. And, you know, I would love to be good, not because I want to necessarily continue to play, but just because I would love to be good, you know, for this organization, this fan base in my last year here. And then if playing comes, you know, beyond that, it does. I mean, we see guys who did pitch well last year don't have jobs. So it's not a magic bullet, you know. There's a lot of other factors. We have this, you know, we have probably a strike coming or a lockout coming looming. So I just want to have a nice last year, you know, with this uniform on. I've been in this organization since I was, you know, barely 18 years old. So it would be great to just have a nice last year here and you know, whatever the future holds.
That was
man,
heartbreaking.
I Beyonce hadn't listened to that yet, and I kind of assumed before Brian hit play that you were embellishing a little bit.
I don't embellish.
But yeah, I mean, that's like a very real reality check of an athlete that knows he's fighting against his body, like hearing that and knowing that he can't do just what he wants to, it's like to the level that he expects of himself. That was sad.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that I'm wrong on this, but it kind of comes across as he's not only understands where he's at in terms of where he is relative to pitchers around baseball, but almost that he's come to terms with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it sounds like he's almost come to terms with, like, yeah, this just might not be in the cards. And look, maybe we're just reading too much into it, and he comes out and he's lights out. He's throwing mid-90s, and the RPMs are over 3,000, and, you know, he's looking like a dude who struck out. Was it the A's where he struck out 12? I know he had two good outings last year. One was against the A's, and one was against the Dodgers. I think it was the strikeouts against the A's, though, because the Dodgers, he kind of struggled early, and they scored, like, 20 runs, and then he kind of just, like, was on cruise control because he kind of, like, you know, had no pressure. But I mean, I still feel strongly that he may be out of baseball by June 1st.
Yeah.
And maybe just doesn't make the team out of camp at all. It's fake injury. It's early retirement, whatever. You know, the other side of that was he is talking about a new contract. Like, if he pitches well, like, maybe there is a new contract out there, although it might not be feasible or, you know, something that he can achieve. But it was really sad. Like, we kind of touched on this a little bit last week, too, that we make fun of Lance, and people make fun of Lance, and that goes with the territory of being a professional. Like, it's just going to happen. You make tons of money, you never play, you're going to catch the ire of some fans. At the same time, it's not his fault. Like, Lance didn't go out there and, like, get hurt in a motorcycle accident, right? Like, he didn't shoot himself in the foot. Like, he's had baseball injuries. He's had a bad arm. So it is sad, because I do think that he's been a guy that tries to put his best foot forward. It just hasn't been in the makings, and it's unfortunate when players go through a bunch of injuries.
Yeah, it's just the reality of, like, of where it's at. I mean, you mentioned this last week too. Like, we all like Lance. Like I don't really get the I get the vitriol because, like, he is below your expectation. Like, the Astros paid him a bunch of money, but, like, as we discussed last week, that was a good contract and we signed it to him. Like, his body has just betrayed him, unfortunately. And, you know, I think his point there about the fact that there might be a strike next year, or he sounds pretty confident there's going to be a strike or a lockout next year. And then his observation about, like, these guys sitting out there in free agency who have had good years. Like, I don't know, like, what a market for Lance McCullers, honestly, no matter how well he pitches, is this year. Like, look how hard it was for Zach Gallen to find a contract that he found worthy of him. Now, McCullers is not a one-year, $20 million guy.
No.
Probably no matter what happens this season. But it is the reality that, like, these older veteran players are hitting free agency, specifically pitchers, and they're not finding a home. So, like, whatever starts Lance makes for the Astros this year, it's very reasonable, like, he's done at the end of this thing.
Yeah, I could see it going the Strasburg route pretty quick, actually, like, quicker than we think. Now, in terms of him getting a contract for next year, I think he would have to start 25 games and have a sub 4, 4.5 ERA to get a big league contract. People would invite him to, you know, camp, you know, on a minor league invite. Now, would he be willing to do that? Probably not, because he's made a good amount of money in his career. So I think that's what it would take for him to get a big league contract. You know, 25 starts, 125 innings, you know, can't have an ERA north of 5, 4.5, something like that. Junkie says, bury me in the H. Another junkie. Lance is a robber. He's been robbing from the Astros for years. See, that's where the ire is, because you're right. Like, when he signed the contract, it was a team-friendly contract. The problem is that you've not been able to get a return on the investment. Even though it was a team-friendly deal at the time, the stock has catered. It has not been good. It's cratered. It's bad luck. It's unfortunate. We're going to make fun of it because it's what we do around here.
Well, and honestly, like, certainly will. If it was any other sport, like, Lance would have been cut 2 years ago.
The guaranteed salary.
Exactly. If this was the NFL or the NBA, there's a bunch of non-guaranteed money on this contract. That just doesn't exist right now. Every penny is guaranteed to these players. So, like, if it was any other sport, like, he already would have been gone at this point. Like, it's part of the flaw within baseball, I think, at times, is that there are these. It's good for the players, honestly. Like, it's good for Lance that everything's guaranteed. But it's also when you sign a player to a contract and they can't live up to it, whether that's through performance or for health, you're just kind of like SOL. And that's what the Astros have been with the McCullers situation.
Yeah. 75, I'll take bad luck for $172 million. Sure. But, I mean, if Lance had his druthers, he would be pitching. It hasn't been able to happen. He hasn't been able to stay on the field, and at this point he's had so many injuries that the stuff just isn't there. I mean, it wasn't there unless he just surprises us all. Like, maybe it looks different in West Palm Beach than it did last year. And he had some games last year where, you know, things were okay, but that fastball low 90s couldn't command at all. Like, the spin was still there a little bit, but he just couldn't command it. He was getting behind in counts. Yeah, 6.50 ERA. Like, and that was with two, like, good performances. And then you look at some of the the Savant numbers, the analytical numbers, and you see what the pitches are doing, velo, what they're doing with spin, and it's okay. This guy's pretty washed. Like, his only pitch that was probably big league capable last year was his curveball, but he could never get into curveball counts. Mm-hmm. Again, he couldn't command it, so he couldn't even get it over for strikes. So I don't have much faith in Lance McCullers. Do I think there's a shot he's the sixth starter coming out of camp and they give him a few starts to see? Yeah, I think there's a shot of that. I also think there's a shot that he just isn't on the team. Like, injury, early retirement, I think that is also in play.
Oh, absolutely. I think we have to be prepared for anything and everything. And the way he's talking, like, I don't know how you read into it. I don't read into it as a guy that feels good about his stuff as we start spring training.
No.
Like, it's I hope to be good isn't someone that has a lot of confidence in what they're throwing at the moment, which leads me to believe it's not going to go well this spring. It kind of feels like it's a soft launch of, hey guys, this might go really poorly for me, and I might not be here come March 26th.
He's like, I want to do good, not for my next contract, just because I want to do good for the team. Maybe that's another hint there. If I was an owner, I would much rather pay someone like Lance McCullers than someone like Watson or Murray, who doesn't really care about their craft and do other activities. It's bad luck for LMJ. You don't hear him not being focused, in my opinion. Yeah, I wouldn't want to give a ton of money to players who are injury prone. Now, the Astros kind of did it. Actually, I think the contract might have come off after the first Tommy John. I don't remember the timeline on that. I would be hesitant to pay pitchers big money. Like, the Astros have had two team-friendly contracts, I think, for pitchers in recent memory. One was Lance McCullers, team-friendly at the time of signing, has not given you any decent ROI. And then the other one was Christian Javier. Like, that was a team-friendly contract at the time of signing, and that also has given you poor return on investment.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't believe in long-term contracts to pitchers. It's kind of where I'm at in this day and age. Junkie, McCullers has been fun to watch. Yes, he had some bad games last year, but he did give us his blood, sweat, and tears as a player. He can't help getting hurt. Fans were brutal to him when he lost horribly. You got to give the man a standing ovation for trying after two elbow surgeries. I will miss watching him play, but we all try but never beat Father Time. I think most of that is well said. Now, I don't think that the Astros organization owes it to him to like go out there and make starts. Like, the Astros need to win. That's the priority. So it can't be a charity case. Like, if he makes the team because of his merit, okay, he makes the team because of what it looks like in spring.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's making the team like out of charity and because they're paying him $18 million, well, I will not approve of that.
No, that's you could have done that when the Astros were losing 100 games a season. If Lance was a beloved player at that time, you can give a charity contract out or charity starts to. Not now. You missed the playoffs by half a game last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like these games, they do matter. It's a long season, but last year proved that one game can change your entire season. So, no, you don't have the luxury of giving someone that's terrible in spring training and doesn't have it free starts just because he's Lance McCullers. If that's the case, then put him on the injured list and let him hang out with the team.
Yeah.
Like, that's the charity you can provide, is if you want, you can say, hey, he's having another shoulder surgery or whatever, or he's out for the entire year. We're not going to eat the money. We're just going to pay him. And he's just going to be on traveling with the team all year with never the intention of coming back. That can be charity. In the rotation, that can't happen.
No. Coming soon, Junction Lance, get his bum booty out of here. You know what I think he does, actually?
What's that?
I think he's going to be on the shin. I think he's going to do TV.
I could see that.
I think he's going to be in the organization in their broadcast department, whether it's doing stuff with the shin, whether it's doing some radio stuff whenever they need somebody else to fill in for Sparksy. Like, I can see him in that role because I don't see him playing baseball beyond this year. Like, maybe he gives it the old college try because he's under contract this season. I think he is retiring either during the year or after the year, and I think he's doing TV as early as next season.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, even, like, he's well-spoken enough that, like, you could see, like, a big TV group go after him, too, honestly. He's not probably not a big enough name.
Yeah, I don't think he's a big enough name.
But like AJ Pruszynski a big enough name?
Well, AJ Pruszynski was kind of like always that like live wire, would say whatever. Like he was, you could always, you never knew what he was going to say. Like he was all, you know what I mean? Like he was always like a wild card.
Yeah, I mean Lance would be
always
more
a big mouth.
Lance would be more entertaining than some of the members that like NBC has hired for their TV crew this year. Like I don't think Clayton Kershaw is going to be riveting television. Breaking down Sunday night baseball games, but he's not Clayton Kershaw. So it kind of hurts you there a little bit.
No, exactly. Like, I don't think he has the cachet. I also don't think he's that. Like, I think he'll be good. I don't think he's, like, great. Like, I don't think he's, like, Smoltz. You know what I mean?
No, but, like, no offense to. I mean, sorry if he ever comes on the show, but, like, he's not as good. I think he'd be better than Josh Reddick at it.
Yeah, I don't think Reddick's that good, if I'm being honest.
Like, he's fine, but, like, he'd be above Reddick, below Blum.
I don't think he's that good.
No, McCullers would be above Reddick.
Yeah, I don't think he's fine, though, is my point.
Like, oh, okay.
I think he's kind of below average. Anyway, 713-780-3776. Let's get to the Yordan conversation. I think I'm abandoning one of my Yordan rules. Never thought I would, but I think I'm going to. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
John and Lance, you can listen to them in mornings, Radio Hall of Famers. You can listen to Jeremy and Joe on your drive time Wall of Shamers. 713-780-3776. So I think I'm ready to abandon one of my Yordan rules, Joe.
Okay.
I think I'm good with Yordan Alvarez playing a good chunk of games in left field. And this goes against everything. everything that I've said in the past. I used to be a staunch prior to like the last week, maybe longer than that, because I can see the writing on the wall with this roster. But I'm a pretty staunch believer that Jordan should be a DH only. Don't want him playing in the field. Don't want him getting hurt. Jordan did have the quote over the weekend: "I've never gotten hurt playing left field. All my injuries have been from different ways and running, but I haven't had any serious injuries actually playing left field." I do think that running is part of playing left field, so I thought that was kind of funny that he says, "I never got hurt playing left field," which is technically true, but he's gotten hurt different ways, including running, which is a part of playing left field, so you can understand why they would try to minimize your use in left field, because you might run a little bit in left field, and you have gotten hurt running before, so kind of a contradiction there. But the reason that I'm willing to, for the most part, maybe not even most part, maybe half part, go away from the Jordan rule of never, never play the field is that, well, this roster construction, it makes a lot of sense if he plays 81 games in left field because it opens up the DH spot for Isak, for Altuve. The other part is, like, and I'm not a huge believer in this, Joe, where the whole, like, player hits better when he plays the field than when he DHs. Like, I've never really been a huge believer in that. I'm not going to say, like, I'm not going to minimize it to zero. I'm not going to say it's completely gone because, like, people have personalities. People do have, like, different preferences. Like, playing in the field gets them active in the game. It doesn't allow them to check out, stuff like that. So I do think that there is, you know, some value in that. I've always thought it was pretty minimal, but when you look at Jordan's numbers, Jordan does hit a lot better when he plays the field than when he DHs. So a combination of all of that, the roster makeup, the fact that you can play half your games at home with the Crawford boxes so it kind of minimizes you running around, the fact that Jordan seems like he wants to play some left field, the fact that he does hit better when he plays left field versus DH, I think I'm good abandoning most of the time my Jordan rule where he can only DH.
I mean, I'm open to it. My pushback here to himself, talking about never being injured, I think we were doing the show. I think it was when I was still producing for you guys. Remember when he was in the outfield and it looked like all of a sudden he was on ice skates when he was on the dirt? Cause like
there was one play, and there was one play in particular where, well, there's two plays that jumped to my mind in the outfield where it's like dangerous.
Yeah,
he did get hurt in left field in Atlanta though. He's forgetting that he got hurt in left field because the fireworks were too close to the proximity of left field, and he had to be hospitalized for the smoke. So he must misremember that. But one that you're referring to is the one where like he hit the lip of the grass in the warning track, and like it looked like he was like on ice, and he like flailed backwards.
Yeah, I
remember that one specifically.
It looked so uncomfortable out there. Like, no, I agree. I think the best roster construction for this, to, like,
do you remember the other one real quick, Joe? Remember when he and Jeremy Pena had that massive collision on the shallow fly ball to left?
Yeah,
that was like, I'm surprised Pena's still alive to talk about it.
I'm actually, I just typed in Jordan Alvarez left field. That's one of the first things that pops up.
That collision is one of the gnarliest infield outfield collisions of all time. I think Pena missed a few days.
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah, I think Jordan, and they both came out of the game. Jordan might have missed a game, but I think Pena missed like two or three.
Yeah, it's that's where it's, yes, he can, but like that's a clear communication issue of like, hey, that's Jeremy Pena's ball. So, I mean, look,
I mean, outfielder has priority when he's calling off an infielder.
I know that's technically the rule. I don't think that rule should be applied when Jeremy Pena's your shortstop and Jordan Alvarez is your left fielder.
Good luck telling Jordan Alvarez he's not the adult in the room.
But he shouldn't be. When he's in the outfield, Jeremy Pena should be the adult in the room. But regardless,
Good luck with that.
it's with the roster construction, like it does make the most sense to put him in left field. When it seems like they're going to play Jose Altuve primarily at second base this season, where you might sprinkle in some left field stuff. I think his comments, Altuve, is about being, you know, consistent and wanting to know what he's getting into when he gets to the ballpark are important. But I'm good with it. But I don't think it also means he's going to be perfectly healthy like the way he's kind of portraying it himself. Like his injuries are, a lot of them are weird. Like the hand injuries are not about being in left field. But as you're saying, like I think you're raising the level of risk of injury with him being out there. Like it'd be best for the Astros if he could just be the DH. It is the best thing for the Astros. Now the splits thing, I'm with you.
Hold on, you say it's best for the Astros if he's your full-time DH?
Yeah.
Jordan?
I think so.
I don't think so with the roster construction.
No, not with your current roster construction. No, but like if your roster was put together better, like if you would have made it.
It's always tough to do that though. Like people are like, "Oh, the roster construction's bad. What fault, you know, Dana has for that?" Like it's pretty hard to have like this perfectly symmetrical roster construction year in, year out.
No, for sure. And it's challenging having guys. The Red Sox went through this with Poppy. Like there are times where it challenges you when you only have a DH. One of the biggest issues that you have is if you have a guy who can only play DH is when you have a player who's got a soft tissue injury or something that prevents them from playing in the field and you'd like them to DH only for a couple days. That's really challenging when you only have a guy that can do one or the other, but you primarily want him to be your DH. So I'm good with Yordan being in left field. I just don't think it guarantees that he's going to be healthy or anything because it hasn't happened.
Well, there's no guarantees healthy. Yeah, I mean, he gets hurt even when he's a DH only. Like, I do think this increases the chances of him getting hurt. I think that his quote, like, "I've never gotten hurt in left field," I think he's minimalizing that. I do think that there is a greater percent of Yordan being injured when he plays left field. Like, it's Yordan. Like, you're right. He gets hurt in these mysterious ways. Him being on his feet, running around more torque on his body, he will increase the chances of him getting hurt playing left field than being DH only. Just because it hadn't happened before doesn't mean that it's likely not to because he's suddenly playing the field. Now, does it keep him more engaged and all that? Like, is there anything to the splits? Like, I mean, he's a different kind of dude. Like, I think that it could be possible in his makeup that with him being more engaged by playing the field, he doesn't, like, you know, get bored on the, you know, in the dugout and have these little haphazard at bats and stuff like that.
I mean, they are they're pretty extreme.
They are extreme. It's like one over 1,000 OPS when he DHs only, or when he hits left when he plays outfield, and then it's under like 980 when he DHs.
Yeah, I've got it at 920. His slug is
okay, under 950.
His slug is almost 75 points higher. His on base percentage is 50 points. His batting average is .330 when he's in left, .281 when he's a DH. Even like his walk numbers are, his walk to strikeout numbers are higher. His strikeout percentage drops. It's 14.9% when he's in left field. It's 21.9 when he's the DH. Like, is that all coincidence or like is it just that like he's not engaged in baseball players? Like I said, they're weird. So if he truly
especially
is,
especially Yordan, man, like Yordan gets bored.
So if he's just bored, then I guess it makes sense. But with your current roster construction, Paredes as your DH, not as a trying out to be a second baseman for the first time in his career, is probably better off with Yordan in left, Paredes at DH, and Altuve at second.
Yeah, I think that, like, I do buy into the splits a little bit here. I usually don't. Like, I usually laugh them off. I usually, no, come on, let's not be ridiculous here. I think with certain players, it could be a thing. And I think in like the numbers you mentioned with Yordan, like I think he's more locked in when he plays left field. And that's why you see him more patient at the plate. Like also think about it. Like it's baseball's, let's just call it what, a 3-hour game. Like I know it's went down a bit with the new pitch clock and stuff like that, but let's just call it a 3-hour game for easy math. Mm-hmm. When Yordan's playing the entire game, like playing defense or any player, like you're out there, right? Like it's not a fast paced game, but you're out there. You're involved. You have to, you know, lock in where you're positioned. You have to be ready when a fly ball comes your way, or even if it doesn't come your way, you still have to be ready. The positioning from batter to batter is going to be slightly different. So like you're doing things. Whereas if you're over in the dugout, just hanging out like in La Playa on the dugout for 4 at bats, you're not really like doing anything up until that at bat.
You're chilling right now. Stay in La Playa right now.
Some DHs have like their routine where they go into the cages and do stuff like that. So I think for certain players, like just they have that mental makeup where if they're engaged and involved, that they're going to have better at bats. Because maybe it's like an aggression thing. It's a zealous thing. I don't know how to explain it. But like you said, with the numbers for Yordan, it just, like the numbers are the numbers. Like they do jump out. And they've been pretty consistent year in, year out. The only exception was 2024 when they were even. Like most years, it's pretty significant gap between the offensive numbers when he's playing the field and when he's not. So, and look, I'm not calling for him to do it 150 games, right? I don't need him to play left field 150 games. But you have the short porch in left. Mm-hmm. You have the dike where it's not that difficult to play outfield. Is there more strain playing left field at the dike than there is DHing? Yes, of course. But if you get a better version of Yordan, a more engaged version of Yordan, and it allows you to play your, you know, your best nine more often, I'm willing to ignore one of the Yordan rules.
I'm with it, and I think you're just, and then you're strategic elsewhere, right? Like, he doesn't play in the outfield when you play in Toronto because we know that the surface there is terrible. But he can play in, you know, the Ranger Stadium that looks just like Daikin Park, essentially, without the Crawford boxes being there. So, like, there are certain areas where you can and cannot do I'm going to vote no on Wrigley when they go there this year.
The Ivy.
Don't need him running, really. Because it'll just be a brick wall at that point in the season. So, no thank you to Yordan Alvarez being in left field for that game. So, as long as you're selective with it, he can play, I don't know, maybe 100 games in the outfield. And then, you know, if you're hoping to get 140 out of him this year, is that a good goal, 150?
Yeah, I feel like 80 in the outfield's probably a bit high. Like, that would mean that he's healthy all year. Like, I look at more like 81, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you try to do it as many home games as you can, not every home game, but as many home games as you can, and then selective ballparks when possible. The most games he's played, he doesn't play many games. Like, last year he played 15. He was hurt all last year. 24, he played 53. 23, he played 40. 22, he played 56. That's his career high.
See, and then,
so, like, 80's way too big of a leap.
Is that...
I mean, even 80's a big leap.
Are those numbers, then, is that... With the splits, is that enough of a sample size to where?
I think so.
Okay. Like,
when you look at it, you know, cumulative of it, I mean, the at-bats are massive. Over the course of his entire career? Yeah.
Yeah, I
believe so.
I mean, so, I'm with it. Like, it doesn't have to, you know, you don't have to stick to the Yordan rules here.
Left field, he's played 214 games, 896 plate appearances. That's almost 900. That's almost 2 years worth. As a DH, he's played 450 games, almost 2,000 plate appearances. As a DH in his career, he's got a 919 OPS. As his whole career as a left fielder, he's got a 1,046 OPS. So it's about a 130 difference in OPS. That's pretty big.
That is. It's a huge number. Because a lot of times I feel like when we talk about this stuff and then you actually pull them up, it's minimal. There's a significant gap here.
His average is almost 50 points better. His on base is almost 30. It is 35 or 30 points better. Like, this is pretty, almost 100 points better in the slug. I think it's an engaged thing. I think he gets bored being the DH and just has, like, okay, I'm going to go up. Like, maybe bored's the wrong word for it.
But
Maybe it is boredom. But I think it could also just be in, like, he's zealous. Like, he wants to be involved. He wants to help the team. When he's playing the outfield, he feels like he can help the team defensively or with his arm. Whereas whenever he's DHing, hey, I'm going to have four plate appearances a game. Let me do some damage. And then all of a sudden he's too aggressive. He's too overzealous. And that's what leads to the higher strikeout numbers. That's what leads to a lower walk numbers. He's a better hitter when he's not doing those things, when he's not chasing, when he's swinging at good pitches. So I actually think there's something here. I usually don't have this thought. I usually don't. Usually I'm more blame the player, like, be locked in all the time. I waver on how I normally feel about this because it's Yordan Alvarez. And he's the most important offensive player on your team on top of it.
How do you feel about him?
81 games. Let's give him 81 games and left. That might be high. Maybe it's 50, but still.
What's your belief in Yordan as a competent outfielder? Like, is it a detriment to the Astros at all from a defensive metric point to do this?
I mean, I think he's better than Altuve in left field.
I agree. I think he's got a way better arm than Altuve.
Yeah, I don't really care about an arm in left.
No, I know, but, like, it's one can rip it and one cannot.
I think that he's a slightly below average. I think he's a below average outfielder defensively.
But I don't think he's
kill you. He doesn't kill you, especially at the dike.
Yeah, he's not a huge liability in left field, it doesn't seem.
No. Joe Espada, people think that he said that he's going to use Yordan specifically as the DH. Espada was asked today, like, hey, Yordan said that he kind of wants to play a little bit of left field. And, like, hey, you've said that you want him exclusively as a DH. Here was your Espada on Yordan playing defense and being a full-time DH.
I have never said that he's not going to play left field. Okay.
Oh, okay. To be fair to Espada, he has never said that. Like, I read all of these. I listen to it all the time. I've seen how people splice the quotes. Espada has said that he's going to see the DH bot most of the time, and he wants to get him off his feet the most that he can. He's never said exclusively left field. People just kind of ran with that, and people think that, because people are fake news, they think that, oh, okay, he's going to be only a DH because people are saying he's going to be only a DH, even though Espada never said that. So Espada made it very clear today, Joe, that he never said that Yordan's going to be exclusively a DH.
Yeah, but wasn't it Dana Brown on MLB Network who said he would primarily be a DH?
I don't think he said that. Maybe he did. But Dana Brown loose-lipped.
I know. Well, and they never said the same thing, so.
They never do. They're never consistent with their message, which kind of like, are they running a circus over there?
It feels like it at times. They
might be running a circus over there. Like, they say one thing, they kind of mean another. They never say things. They always say things. Like, it never feels like they're on the same page. They have one collective message as an organization, which, like, is an amateur hour over there? Like, sometimes I wonder. I don't want it to be. I think they're, like, capable GMs and managers, but at the same time, it's like they don't have a united front very often.
No, they do not.
And then they kind of have a plan, and then they kind of don't. And, like I was drinking the Kool-Aid when it came to Altuve playing left, because you can hide him on defense, and then it's like, okay, well, we're done with that now. Would it make sense to play him in left? Like, it kind of feels at times that it's a bit amateur hour with Dana and Joe, doesn't it?
It does.
Like, it just feels sometimes that they don't – not. I don't want to say they don't know what they're doing, because I think they know what they're doing.
Well, it feels like they don't talk to each other, but we know they do. But it comes across as if they share different messaging about the exact same situations, always within the same time frame. Like these interviews, like that Joe Espada is disputing, saying that, you know, he would never play left field, and – what we're trying to remember what Dana Brown said, like both those happen at the winter meetings with different media publications, or if not the same exact one, on the same day or back to back day. So it's like, it feels like they just kind of speak their mind, and it feels like they didn't like sit down before they go to winter meetings and be like, and like have a huddle up and be like, all right, this is what we're going to say when we're asked about Altuve at second. We're going to, this is our team answer here. They just kind of shoot from the hip of what they think at the moment. And then when season gets here, we assume that they've communicated the same plan.
I mean, Dana contradicts himself
every day
from yesterday. You know what I mean? Like, he'll say one thing on a Sunday and then completely change it on a Monday. It comes across a little amateur-y. Like, people will criticize, like, Belichick for, hey, you know, he's not talking a whole lot. He's not giving us anything. But you know what didn't happen with Belichick? No one ever accused him of being amateur hour.
Yeah.
No one accused him of, like, you know, just saying things and then immediately doing something different. Like, was he quiet and coy and didn't want to give you strategy? Yes. But no one ever was like, okay, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Whereas Dana at times, in a spot, like the, you know, the Cam Smith, like, let's bring his mama to the clubhouse. Like, it's kind of amateur hour a little bit, just a little bit. But interesting what Espada had to say in response to Yordan's comments over the weekend. 713-780-ESPN. Is Chandler Rome right about something, or is he fear-mongering some more? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2. Something I can tell you is that fast breaks, buzzer beaters, block parties are back, baby. And Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action all season long. You can make picks and win money right now in Texas. If you're jonesing for some football, they got some best balls going on over there. You know you can catch me in those best ball lobbies. Join me in a best ball lobby. In fact, sign up with promo code KILLERB. You're going to score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. Promo code KILLERB. I'll do a best ball draft with you. But playing on Underdog is so easy. Just pick whether your favorite players are go higher or lower on stats like points, rebounds, steals, and more. Get your picks right. You can win up to 5,000 times your cash. I was looking at some picks for Thursday when the Rockets are back in action. This one I found funny. Kevin Durant, half a burner. Higher or lower there? Do you like the higher or lower? He's also 24.5 points higher or lower. Con Knipple, my favorite Knipple, 18.5 points higher or lower there. Alpi Shingun at 18.5 points, and Min Thompson at 15.5 points. And Jabari Smith, Kevin Durant loves him, at 13.5. Higher or lower there? You know ball. Go prove it right now on Underdog. Download the Underdog app today. Use promo code KILLERB to score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. Promo code KILLERB, KILLERB, Underdog. Make picks, win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms underscore DFS underscore .html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-MY-RESET or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5.